It's a new month and a new subject, and I'm excited about this. Hallelujah. There was a story. Dr. Gordon of Boston had a large dissected puzzle map, which he gave to his children, saying, "Don't press the parts into their places. You will soon know where they fit." Coming again into the room, very soon after, he was surprised to find the map completed. He felt like saying, as Isaac to Jacob, when the latter returned with the venison, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" "Why, father," was the reply, "there was a man printed on the back. We saw where the feet, the eyes, the arms, and the rest of the body came, and so it was easy to watch it and fit it all in. So if we know the Bible, we see the man on the back. We put together the prophecies of the Old Testament by the man, Christ Jesus." So God's picture was on the back, so they were able to put the pieces of the puzzle together quickly. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, and I would encourage you to bring your Bibles, because this is your sword and we ought to become skillful in the sword. Amen? And I'm going to work on getting some uniform Bibles that if people don't bring them, they can share some of ours. So we're going to work on that. I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse 6. And the Bible tells us, "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Hallelujah. Well, that's interesting that he says, "Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." You know, Jesus has the wonderful privilege of having two natures. He is both God and he is both man. So this month we're going to talk to you about the Son of God and the Son of Man, and how that relates to us. Because really, you know, everybody, a lot of people want to focus their attention on the baby. But you know, that was several thousand years ago. How many know that Jesus, I mean, that's great that he came as a baby, but he's not a baby anymore. Amen? He has done his work. He has finished his task, and now he's sitting at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for each one of us. So a child is born. You know what? If you're going to live on this earth, how are you going to get here? You're going to have to be born here. I have never met a human being that was imported from some other universe. If you want to walk on this earth, you're going to have to be born here. Amen? That's how God set it up. That's what God established in his plan. And so God became a man so that men can become sons of God and daughters. Amen? You know, when I say sons of God, I'm talking about the whole enchilada, the whole ball of wax. I'm including men and women both in that statement. So it is through him, it is through the child that was born and the son that was given, that we become children of God. Hallelujah. What a privilege, what a time we're living in, that we can actually help people become children of God by pointing them in the right direction. And the government will be on his shoulders. Guess what? It's not on our shoulders. You know what? Government governs. Who governs you? Which government governs you? The natural government or the spiritual government? How much say does the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have in your life? Just think about it. Who governs you? Who governs your behavior, your thoughts, your words? The government is upon his shoulders. He's going to be a world leader. Amen? He's going to rule the nations. Hallelujah. And then it said, his name shall be called. Now you got to combine these. He's a wonderful counselor. Amen? Anybody ever need advice? We have a wonderful counselor. Now, who's going to counsel you? He's the mighty God. He doesn't counsel you with just words. He's got power to back it up. He's got power to deliver, to set free, to break chains, to pull you up out of the pit of destruction. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the everlasting Father. There's no end to him. He is eternal. He is forever. He's the real deal. He's not going anywhere. He's the Prince of Peace. Wherever he is, peace rules. You know, the Prince of Peace can speak to storms in your life and all of a sudden bring calm. You might as well hook up with the Prince of Peace and deal with storms like he dealt with them. Come on. We all go through storms. But it all depends on where your house is rooted as to how you're going to make it through the storm. And God gave us an unbreakable umbrella in the form of God's love, Jesus Christ. So, it was interesting to find that that word son means a builder of the family name. Jesus came to build his family name. He came to build the kingdom of God. He came to build righteousness, justice, holiness. Thank God. And, you know, after all, he was a carpenter. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how Peter felt when a carpenter was trying to tell him how to fish? But you know what? He's more than a carpenter. He knows everything. He came to destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. The devil's got some works. But God came to destroy the devil's works. Let me tell you, the devil's works will not stand. His work is coming to an end. He's a liar, and he's going to head to the fire. So, the Son of God, he is both man and God. And that's what we're going to get into. The Son of God connects the eternal with the temporal. And the Son of Man connects the temporal with the eternal. Jesus is both Son of God. He is divine. He is holy. But he's also the Son of Man. He can relate to you. He knows what you've been through because he's been there, done it, and got the t-shirt. These were just some thoughts that God shared with me as I was preparing. The Son of God connects the eternal with the temporal, and the Son of Man connects the temporal with the eternal. The Son of God connects the super with the natural, and the Son of Man connects the natural with the super. And what do you get when you super plus natural equals supernatural? You can live in the supernatural. You can walk in the supernatural. What heals you? Supernatural forces. What does it mean to be supernatural? When your body needs healing, God can quicken the process. How many has ever cut their finger before? Show me that cut. What happened to your cut if it wasn't recent? Did you know that God created the body to heal itself? But when we encounter problems that are too much for the natural process, the super has to come in and increase the natural. So God will come in, he'll increase the natural process that's already within our bodies, and it'll be supernatural. Woo, this is good. The Son of God is the divinity and deity of Jesus, and the Son of Man is the humanity of Jesus. What a better representative. You know, maybe you don't feel like our representatives represent us well. Once they get our vote, maybe we don't hear from them. But I'll tell you what, there's one who represents you well before the Father. He is the Son of God and the Son of Man. He is both divine, he is both man, he is deity, he is human, and he is the perfect representative to represent man to God and God to man. I mean, Jesus is the total package. He is the God-man, better than Superman. So he makes the perfect representative. He knows how God thinks, and he knows how man thinks. Amen? God knows how you think, but he knows how God thinks, and he knows how to bridge the two. He knows he can help you make God's thoughts, he can help you make your thoughts God's thoughts. Well, I thought the Bible says that God's thoughts are higher. Yeah, they are higher, but Jesus brings you up. He makes you higher. He says, come on. He sits you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You can come up and think. You can think God's thoughts. Jesus said in Philippians 2, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How can you think God's thoughts? Via the Holy Spirit network. Oh, I'm telling you what, God's got a communication network called the Holy Spirit Network, and it's free. It doesn't require a phone. All you need to know is J-E-S-U-S, and that gives you access to that network. Hallelujah. You'll never have a drop call. You'll never have an out area. God can speak to you any place, anytime, anywhere you are. He knows how to get in touch with you. You know, some people think that they can run away from God. How many know that, you know, God, I heard this morning from Keith Moore, and I thought it was funny. You know, God gave a plan, God wanted Jonah to preach to Nineveh, right? What did Jonah do? He ran in the wrong direction, and did God lose track of Jonah? You know, you could get on a cruise ship, and you could go to the remotest island and hide behind a palm tree, and God would say, what are you doing here? You can't go anywhere on this planet to get away from God. There's no mountain too high. There's no valley too low where God can't reach you, where God can't get a hold of you. There's no trouble that you're in that God can't deliver you from. If you ended up in a pit, he's your lifeline to get out of the pit. If you've ended up in water over your head, he's your life preserver. I didn't quite see this come out this good, but I like this, Lord. (laughs) Only a God-man, the Son of God and Son of Man, can redeem mankind and forgive their sins. There is only a man who had God's blood. Oh, you know, God had to be born of a virgin because he had the Father's blood. And once the baby's in the womb, you know, even though the baby has its own blood. Amen? God's word was made flesh in Jesus. He is the walking word man. And God put on earth, he put on an earth suit and came to seek and save that which was lost. You know, if we were going to go look to the moon to look for whatever was lost up there, maybe Neil Armstrong lost something, it's going to require you to put on a suit, a space suit, so that you can survive in that environment. Well, because God gave man dominion on the earth, God had to put on an earth suit. He had to put on flesh and blood to be able to walk this earth so that he could do what he needed to do. Amen? See, because when God gives you dominion, he doesn't take it away. Whether or not you use it, you know, God gives it to you, but whether or not you use it, that's up to you. I mean, you could be like a bump on a log and never use your dominion at all. And here you've got this dominion sitting on your shelf. God wants you to take dominion because he's given man dominion on the earth. Back in Genesis, you can read it. Don't have time to go there today. As Son of God, Jesus is equal with God. As Son of Man, Jesus is equal with man. He experienced emotion. Can you imagine God getting tired? But he did when he was a man. Jesus slept. Jesus wept. Jesus got angry. Oh, you think he politely asked the people to leave the temple when he turned over the tables? I don't think so. He experienced the whole spectrum of human emotion. But yet, while he was human, he never sinned. He never gave in to the temptation of the enemy. He never gave the devil an inch. Don't give the devil an inch. Don't give him place. Don't let him have any piece of your heart, any piece of your life. How do you do that? You stay humble before God. Jesus is by nature both the Son of God and the Son of Man. He has both eternal qualities and natural qualities. How did Jesus rise from the dead? He rose in a body, didn't he? How do we know that? Because Thomas got to touch his body after he was risen. But he said, I'm flesh and bone. He didn't say anything about blood once he was risen. See, when you're risen, you're going to have a glorified body. You know, your glorified body can do things that the natural body can't do. You can show up without a key or the door being opened. You know, Jesus ate with his glorified body. Praise God. God's getting ready for a marriage supper of the Lamb. He said the Spirit and the bride say, come. You talk about the meal on next Sunday. You haven't seen a meal until you've had the supper of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So Jesus is both divine and human. He is the Son of God and the Son of Man. All right? Let's look at some instances here. Now, Jesus was a real man, but he wasn't merely a man. I thought that was a good phrase. He was born and died like a man, but he is the Ancient of Days, who said, before Abraham was, I am. Go with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And let's look at verse 58. And hold your place there and go to Daniel, which is after the book of Ezekiel, who I like to refer to as Eze. Daniel chapter 7. And we'll start with verse 13. We'll start with Daniel first. Daniel's talking about verse 13. He said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion from which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now go over to John 8:58. So you got to understand this. Jesus is the Ancient of Days, but he's also a man, and he tells the Pharisees in John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That was God talking in the body. Hallelujah. Just because he was wearing an earth suit doesn't mean that he stopped being God. But when he was in an earth suit, he gave up his ability to act like God acts, and he submitted himself. Basically, he put on an earth suit so that he could show you and I how to follow God. He showed us the example. So that he is the Ancient of Days, and he told the Pharisees before Abraham was, I am. All right? We know on the cross, Jesus said some things on the cross. One of the things he said was, I thirst. Right? How many of you get thirsty? Well, he also told the woman in John 4, he said, if you drink of the water that I will give you, you will never thirst again. So on one hand, he's hanging on the cross. He says, I thirst, because he's saying that as a man, but he's telling the woman at the well that if you drink the water that I give you, it's a well that never runs dry. It's a well that will spring up into you in eternal life. What are we doing? We're seeing Jesus operate in both natures. Why? Because he's the Son of God and the Son of Man. Only the Son of God and the Son of Man. See what I am? Could bridge the gap between God and man. When man was created, you know, God made the first man. His name was Adam. He took some dust from the ground. He formed it. Then he breathed the breath of life into him, and Adam became a living soul. And the Bible said that God would walk with Adam in the cool of the day. It'd be like, you know, if I'm God, I'd come down to Mike's house and I'd say, hey, Mike, how's it going? How are you doing? You know, what's happening in your day? And Adam and God, they fellowshipped. They had a relationship. They talked with one another. And God said, Adam, why don't you name those animals? Did you know that God named whatever Adam said the name was? Now, come on, Adam. Let's go back and have a redo on some of these names. But whatever Adam said the names were, that's what the names were, because God gave him dominion. And man, things were going good. God and man, they were walking together. They were talking together. You know, I'm sure that God and Adam would tell each other jokes. Don't look surprised. God's a funny God. Who do you think invented humor? You don't think God tells jokes? I'm telling you, he's hilarious. He'll make you laugh where you can't even contain it. Then God said, you know, Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. Listen, when man is left to alone, we get in trouble. It's not good for man to be alone. So God made him a helpmeet that was comparable to him. You know, Adam couldn't talk to the animals. He wasn't Dr. Doolittle. He could name the animals, but he couldn't have a relationship with the animals. So God made him Eve. And man, when God brought Eve to Adam, you know what Adam said? Whoa, man! That's how she got her name. Just kidding. And they, you know, they had to take care of this garden. But there was someone watching from behind the scenes. He had been kicked out of heaven because iniquity was found in his heart. And God, because he got fired, his name was Lucifer. Now it's Satan, deceiver, Abaddon, father of lies, prince of flies, lord of garbage. I like to add the last part there. Every name of Satan is descriptive of his character. And he was trying to find a way because he got angry at the relationship that Adam and God had. And you know, he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He can't just come in and devour you. He's toothless. But if you invite him in, he can have a heyday in your life. Anyway, Satan deceived Eve. And she turned to Adam, and Adam, who was responsible, disobeyed God. He knew better. And from that point on, instead of walking with God, they wanted to find ways to separate themselves from God. You know, when people are experiencing problems in their life, you know what the first thing they'll do? They will separate themselves from the light and those that have the light. You know, when you give Satan place, he will destroy your fellowship. He will destroy your relationships. And he will get you into a place where he can just beat on you and lie to you and bind you because he wants to keep you in this small little box. So the relationship was broken. Fellowship was broken. Now there was fear. Now they lost the glory of God. Now they realized, oh, wait a minute, I don't have any clothes on. I'm naked. They didn't know that before because they were covered with the glory of God. So God needed a way. He already knew what he was going to do. Okay? You know, God's smart. He has a plan in place before the problem occurs. And he knew that he was going to give his son and that through his son, he was going to restore a right relationship between man and God. And everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ alone, you can walk with God just like Adam did. You could be covered with his glory. You could fellowship with God. You could hear his voice and you could walk with him. And that's what this is about. The greatest miracle of all is his unspeakable gift. It is Christ Jesus. It is how God became man to save us from our sins. That's the greatest thing of all. Let's read on. So Jesus said, I thirst. But then on the other hand, he said, I'll give to you living water. He was beaten with stripes. 39 times, matter of fact. But yet, Isaiah 53:5 tells us, with those stripes, you are healed. God stepped in as a man and took your punishment. He took my punishment. He atoned for your sin by taking it upon himself. Let's go to Isaiah 53:5. Let's just read that. You know, Satan will try to get you into, what's Satan, what Satan starts off with doesn't really amount to anything, but if you get into it, he'll make it bigger than what it seems. Isaiah 53, let's just read verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. You know, even in Jesus' close followers, there weren't too many that hung out at the cross. There were only a handful. Let's read on. Surely he has borne whose griefs? Our griefs. He bore your griefs. And he carried your sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God, afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for who? Our transgressions. He was bruised for our what? Our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Yes, as a man, he suffered, but as God, his suffering turns into victory to us. So he took stripes, but then he used those same stripes to heal you. And no matter what sickness tries to come on your body, by his stripes you are healed. That means that as a believer in Christ, when you're sick, you can say, by his stripes I am healed. Because he said you were. If he said you were, then you are, right? Then you got to believe it. And how do you believe it? Because that's the only thing that comes out of your mouth. When you really believe something, you're not going to mix it with all kinds of things. It has to be pure. God needs pure faith. Unfeigned faith. Let's read on. Jesus said in John 5:30, he could do nothing of himself. He said, I of myself can do nothing. Yet, in John 1, we know that nothing was made without him. So as a man, he said, in myself I can do nothing. In other words, he was teaching us that you've got to put your trust in God. As a man, you've got to trust God. As a man, you've got to have faith in God. As a man, you've got to believe God. But then he said, nothing was made without him. Before the world was, I am. What are we seeing? We're seeing both Son of God, Son of Man. Okay? Luke 2:52 tells us Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. And Hebrews 13:8 yet tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So how can you be the same yesterday, today, and forever and increase in knowledge and wisdom? You can if you're the Son of God and the Son of Man. Amen? And guess what? Because you are a joint heir with Jesus, everything Jesus can receive, you receive. Everything Jesus got, you get. If Jesus got a victory, you get a victory. If Jesus has joy, you get joy. If Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he is, then guess what? You have peace. Because you get what he got. You're a joint heir. You get the same thing. Joint heirs, they share the inheritance equally. Hallelujah. My goodness. Woo, I feel good. Now we know that Jesus was sentenced to death by a Roman governor, yet he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, he was sentenced to death as a man because someone had to pay for our sins. You know, if we emptied out all of our bank accounts and all of our assets right here in this room, it wouldn't even make a drop in the bucket in what it cost God to take away our sins. You could have, you know, even Jesus said, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, you've gained nothing. Nothing. But thank God that through Jesus Christ, we can gain the world. He gives us a whole lot more. Are you learning something today? So he was sentenced to death by a Roman governor, yet he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus said his soul was troubled in Mark 14:34, yet he is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. You can be troubled and be the Prince of Peace because he was the Son of God and the Son of Man. Now, Jesus didn't have two personalities. He wasn't schizophrenic or bipolar. You know, a schizophrenic, I forget the jokes anyway. So Jesus didn't have dual personalities. He was by nature divine. He was by nature human. He was the perfect embodiment that only God can do. How God can become a man, it's probably a mystery to us to understand it all. We weren't called to understand it all. You just got to believe it because it's true. There's no other religious leader that can say they did what Jesus did. And if they say they did, you'd still find their bones in the tomb. Jesus proved who he was by what he did and the resurrection and the works that he did. It proved that he was God. And you know what? God, if you're a believer, God shouldn't have to prove things to you anymore. You should just take him at his word. You know, we try to, he complicates things. God likes to keep things simple. But we take it and make the simple complex. You know, I mean, the Pharisees, they added rules and regulations. You know, a guy just got healed. He was lame. He couldn't walk. He had to lay there day after day, day after day. And Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. And the Pharisees are on his case because he's carrying his mat. Are you kidding me? That's what legalism and the religious spirit will do to you. May God deliver us from the religious spirits. You know, I'm not too of a religious person. Religious spirits don't like to hang around me. You know, if a religious spirit's hanging around you, just laugh. Laugh at the spirit. Say, ha, ha, ha. You know, one time, Brother Hagin, he was one of my mentors. I had the privilege of going to his school. He told this story. Now, he had been healed of an incurable blood disease, a deformed heart. He spent 18 months in bed. And he got healed. So the spirit, now, after he was healed, the spirit, a demonic spirit was trying to tell him that he had that disease again. And the demon was whispering in his ear. So Brother Hagin would say, ha, 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 Mr. Devil, I'm healed. And the spirit said, what are you doing? He says, I'm laughing at you, devil. He was laughing at the devil. And, you know, that went on for just a couple times, but guess what? He kept doing it. Guess what? The devil left. You know, when you resist him steadfast in the faith, the Bible says he's going to flee. Amen. All right, let's move on. So let's just take a look for a minute at the supernatural virgin birth of Jesus. You know, Genesis 3:15, why don't you turn there? It tells us God's plan. Now, God was speaking to the serpent. And he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, which the head always relates to authority. And you shall bruise his heel. How many know the devil thought that he won at the crucifixion? But the Bible said that God didn't reveal the resurrection, because if the devil knew that Jesus was going to rise from the dead, the Bible says they would have never crucified him. But God knows how to outsmart the devil, because the devil is dumb. You know, the world wants to portray light and darkness as equal forces opposing one another. No. God, the devil is not even in the same league as God. The devil was a created being who rebelled against God, and God is, God was, and God always will be. And when it comes to the devil, if a person gets born again today, they have authority, they have as much authority over the devil as someone who's been saved for 20 years. So they are not comparable forces. But see, the devil's like a blowfish. You know what a blowfish does? It puffs itself up to make it look bigger than what it really is. See, the devil's a liar, and he's just a Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. He can just puff himself up, but there's nothing there when you know your authority in Christ Jesus. You can poke him in the belly, and he'll explode. Matthew 1:23, the virgin shall be pregnant and give birth to a son. Why was it important to have a son? God said only a male lamb without spot, without blemish, can take away the sin. Jesus is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Why? Because he was without spot and without blemish. He was a firstborn male child, that's what God required. Go with me to Galatians chapter 4, and I'm getting ready to close. I didn't say I wasn't going to close, I'm getting ready. Galatians chapter 4. This is powerful. We'll go with verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. I mean, when you got someone born into a rich family who's 4 years old, he's an heir, isn't he? But let me tell you, the 4-year-old is going to need some people to watch over him. He can't just have the free run of the place and do whatever he wants. First of all, he can't drive. He can't sign contracts. He can't do checks. So guess what? Even though he's an heir, he's almost considered like a servant, because he has to have people take care of him and all the things, right? But verse 2, but as under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. There comes a point in time when the son who is an heir, he takes his place in whatever the family's doing, right? Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, did you know that God had to preserve a righteous line for his son to come to the earth through? How many righteous people did it get down to in the days of Noah? 8. Everyone in the world in Noah's day was wicked except for 8 people. Now, Noah had a church of 8 people for 100 years. And he was in a major building project. He built an ark. And the reason it probably took 100 years because he only had 7 helpers helping him build. Because everyone else was so wicked, they weren't concerned about building God's house or building God's ark. So there was a fullness of time. God had to preserve the righteous line. You can read the genealogy. There's some people in there. Ruth was a Moabitess. Rahab was a prostitute. But they're included in the righteous line because they put their faith in Christ. So, the fullness of time has come. God sent forth his son, made of a woman. Mary was at the right time, at the right place. The line had been preserved, and God said, now's the time to bring my son to the earth, to put on flesh, to be incarnated. This is good. He was made of a woman, and he was made under the law. In other words, you got to get this. If the FBI wants to bring down a mob boss, they're going to put someone undercover. And they're going to make their way into the family so that they can destroy the family from the inside out. God planted Jesus. He planted himself in a fleshly body. He went undercover into the earth, into Satan's dominion. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Jesus went undercover as a man. He disguised himself. God disguised himself as a man, and he looked just like any other man because he was going to be born. It took 9 months for Jesus to develop in the womb. Mary probably had, I don't know if she had morning sickness. The Bible doesn't say, but his birth was a normal birth as far as the birth goes. Now, the pregnancy, that wasn't normal. The pregnancy was by the power of the Holy Ghost. It was by unconventional means. You know that God can use unconventional means to save you. So he was made of a woman. He was made under the law. Why? Number one, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. In other words, Jesus came to purchase your freedom, to pay your ransom, and to atone from your sins. What requires a ransom? When someone is held against their will. In other words, they're kidnapped. Kidnappers call, I want you to bring $1 million to this place at this time, or this person is going to die. See, when we sinned, we gave Satan the legal right to operate. Notice I said when we sinned. See, we want to blame it on Adam, but you know what? When you're pointing at Adam, you got 3 fingers pointing back at you. Because we all did what Adam did. We have all sinned. At one time or another, we've all fallen short of God's glory. We've missed the mark, but the gift of God's grace is greater than the offense. I'm almost finished. So, he was born of a woman to redeem us that were under the law. Number two, to receive adoption as sons. I wasn't born Jewish, I was born Polish. But because God adopted me, I get the same rights as if I was born Jewish. Because an adopted son has all the same rights as one born into the family. Because that is a legal document. So Jesus was born of a woman so that he could redeem us, so that we could receive the adoption as sons. And he goes on, verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Number 3, he came, he was born of a woman, so that you could have his Holy Spirit in your hearts, and you can call God Daddy. Why don't we say that? Say this, say Daddy God. Daddy God. Say God is a good daddy. Say I love my Daddy God. I can sit in his lap. I can be protected from harm. And you know what? Daddy knows best. Whenever you're having a problem, whenever you're having a struggle, you can talk to Daddy, and Daddy will give you a solution. Daddy, he's a very present help in trouble. Hallelujah. He lift up your eyes, because your redemption draws nigh. And finally, look at verse 7. Why was God born of a woman? Wherefore you are no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. He changed you from being a slave. We were slaves of sin. Sin is bondage. Sin is limitations. Sin is destructive. And we were slaves of sin, but now you're no longer a slave of sin. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. And you're an heir of God. It's time we start acting, walking, talking, and thinking like we're heirs of God. You know, I've heard enough Christians complain to me about how the devil is wreaking havoc in their life. Isn't that something, how one you have authority over is wreaking havoc in your life? They're obviously, they have lost their image of a son and an heir. Of who they are. You are a son. You are a daughter. You are an heir of God. Say, I'm an heir of God. God wrote you in his will. He signed your name. He's going to read all the names that are in his will when we get to heaven, because he's got a book of life that he's recording every name who professes faith in Jesus Christ. And you know what? You can't just profess faith. If you're not going to live it, shut up. If you're not going to live by faith, don't make believe like you are. That's called hypocrisy. Be real. If you're having a bad day, you know, say I'm having a bad day, but don't stay there. Don't camp out at Bad Day Campground. You know, I mean, Jesus died so that your day can improve. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God doesn't expect you to camp out on heartache. At some point, the heartache that you've experienced, you've got to get over it. And you can't do it on your own. You can't do it in the natural. You've got to trust the Spirit of God. You've got to have faith in God and rely on his power. Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. What's good news to the poor? You don't have to be poor no more. That's good news. I mean, come on. What other good news would a poor person have? Is that you don't have to be poor no more. You don't have to be blind no more. You don't have to be lame no more. You don't have to be a prisoner no more. You don't have to walk around with the wounds that you suffered in life as a merit badge saying, look at my wounds. Look at what I've been through. Really? Have you been to the cross? Have you had a crown of thorns on your head? Were you whipped 39 times? Were you beaten? Was your beard plucked out of your face? Then your suffering doesn't really compare, but Jesus went through all that. And he gained the victory through it. And if he gained the victory through the cross, don't you think you can gain victory over your little problem? I mean, come on. Kick the box out of that problem. Your problems are made of cardboard. Compared to the overall thing. So this is why Jesus came. This is why we have the virgin birth. This is the importance of Jesus being the Son of God and the Son of Man. Amen? Now, is there any here that would say, I don't know the Lord? Or, listen now, I'm not walking with the Lord as I should. You know better, but for whatever reason, you're not doing what you know. You need to get, number one, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, you need to get born again. You need to meet Jesus. What that means is you accept Jesus into your heart and you change your ways. And the only way that you can do that is having Jesus in your heart. You can't do it any other way. You need Jesus in your heart. He's got to be your personal Savior. And if you're not walking with God like you should, you fall under the category of a prodigal son. He went and did his own thing, his own way, riotous living, until he came to himself, then he came back home. If you're a prodigal, you need to come back home. Why don't you come home today? Listen, the Father is here like this. He's waiting for you with open arms. He wants to give you the biggest hug and surround you with love. And maybe you're here and you lack power in your life. Well, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you know you're filled with the Holy Spirit? You can speak in tongues. That's a sign of the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you need to get born again, if you need to come back home, and if you need to get filled with the Spirit, today is your day. Amen? Are there any that would say those apply to me? You know, Jesus is not someone that we should be ashamed about. We should never be ashamed of putting faith in God. So is there anyone that would say with an uplifted hand, I need to be born again, I need to come back home, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I see that hand, thank you. Anybody else? Now I'm going to ask something of you. Jesus wasn't afraid to hang on the cross before us. So I'm going to ask you to make your way up here, and I want to pray for you. Amen? We need some boldness in people. Don't let fear stop you. If those apply to you, just come on up. No one's going to know which one. And I'm just going to pray for you, and God's going to meet you. He's going to meet your need. Because he loves you. Hallelujah. He has plans to prosper you.